are live here at, virtually live.
Virtually live.
That means Big Bite Mind, located in Irvine, California this week. And today is the last day, Holly. So this
is
not only our day three wrap-up, it's the conference wrap-up as well. So congratulations on another successful Big Bright Minds this year. Well done.
Thank you. Yeah. And this year we had 3 days instead of just two, because honestly, we figured that people aren't traveling as much as typical. And if they are going to go to the effort to come out here, that they maybe want to spend some more time. So we built in an extra day, some extra networking time, which has been awesome. And also it just makes it one more day longer, lots more stuff to absorb. We're all on 5 hours of sleep, I think, and for all 3 days. And but we made it, so it was successful, and it was really good to have Big Bright Minds again in person.
Yeah, I bet there's like a lot of kind of pent up, I don't know, activity. People are just dying to network. So having that extra networking time, or people are just kind of dying to like talk to each other again in person. So that extra networking time probably paid off dividends for everybody, right?
Yeah, well, I was thinking that I think that data scientists, so this is kind of the theme of the day too. We had a behavioral scientist here today, but all of the people that study human behavior are going to have such a field day with the way we are now, and how the last 2 years changed, like how we were for the first, you know, however many decades of our lives. And now we're like acting like we don't know how to interact socially anymore. And it's like, come on, it's still in us. We didn't forget that quickly.
Just rub, you know, just wash off the rust a little bit and it'll come right back. Yeah, I think it was either Brian Hamilton from CU Direct or TransUnion's Blake Woods was like, you know, ordinarily it takes me 10 minutes to pack for a trip, you know, back in the day, but this time it took me like 2 hours because I just wasn't used to it.
It's wild.
So we're all just kind of a little rusty in that area, but I think muscle memory will kick in here in 2022 for sure. So, yeah. So speaking of today's theme, do you want to share with us today's theme and then kind of who opened up with the keynote today?
Yeah. So today was all about digital transformation, which of course is a key challenge, a key effort for credit unions, financial services in general, to figure out that had to have been on everyone's to-do list anyways, because the future is going that way. But of course, the pandemic accelerated that beyond anybody's expectations of how quickly that would happen. So we had our fellow for our Emerging Technology Center of Excellence, Bill Maurer, come in to give a keynote. And then we have a new, so that Center of Excellence actually was renewed from the first generation of Centers of Excellence, because that's a topic that we don't think is ever really going to need to be stopped being researched.
Yeah,
so emerging technology, the technology that's emerging changes, but the need to study emerging technology is never going away.
Mm-hmm.
And then we brought a new center of excellence this past year into the fold of Filene's topics, and that's on data analytics and the future of financial services. So that's really looking forward on the horizon of where credit unions are going to need to be next, but also what they need to be doing now to be ready for that. And so we had Dr. Sherry Spire Perro on to give us a keynote about a really special, cool project that we're doing at Filene, where we're asking credit unions to take a survey that takes about 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It's just questions about like how ready they are to get more value out of the data that they have. Credit unions have so much data, but if they're not using it, if they're not ready to use it to their advantage, they're not really getting the value out of the investments that they might be putting into data. And that can help on every level of the organization, from operations to customer service to, like, you know, testing, iterating, repeat, like measuring progress. Everything depends on your data. So we're asking people to take a survey around a number of areas that can assess how ready they are to get that maximum value of the use of their data. And anyone who takes the survey will get a personalized index of their responses compared to the aggregate for the industry. So it's a really good value for anyone who's on a digital transformation journey. You should kind of do that to just see where they're at to start.
Yeah.
Just, you know, wherever.
I think that's true about everybody, Holly. Everybody's on their digital transformation. I don't think that journey is ever going to end. So.
Yeah.
So it's that's going to be a really interesting one. So is there like a deadline to have your responses in, or what's the timeline here?
Yeah, we're looking at, because we want to get the data over to the researchers and start crunching the numbers. So we're going to wrap that up right before Thanksgiving. So we still have a couple of weeks to get that
in. Okay, cool. Yeah, and we'll put a link in the show notes for all you guys who are out there who want to take the survey. So you can click on it and just get right to it. And again, it only takes, what, 10 minutes?
You 10 said, minutes, Holly?
And so,
yep.
Boom, you're in and out. So yeah, so we'll have a link for you to share. So good.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, so in that context, kind of the theme of what Bill Maurer was talking about, and this is what's really cool when you think about the three challenges, we've broken them out day by day, but they all are intertwined. You don't have any in isolation. So really, when we're talking about digital transformation, we're not talking about technology in a technical sense. We're almost talking about the human interaction with technology.
Mm-hmm.
So Bill's whole presentation is about how credit unions can use their data to, you know, really support the members' needs by knowing more about what they need and recommending better products and more encouraging things to be leading them to greater financial well-being instead of being exploitative with the data.
Yeah.
And then, of course, that builds trust. And then the trust that builds with the use of their data and how they use it is a huge differentiator for credit unions versus other types of financial institutions. And, it's an opportunity, I think, that the credit unions have for the taking. However, it's interesting because when people that use alternative financial services like check cashing, pawn shops, the reason why they say they use those often is because they don't trust the traditional banking industry.
So
there's a lot
that's a big
of
issue,
improvement there. Yeah. If the alternative financial services are doing a better job with engendering trust, however, they're not doing a better job with being the best financial choice.
No, taking advantage of those people for sure. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's an interesting disconnect where, you know, credit unions truly are going to be better for you financially, and yet people aren't necessarily believing that.
Yeah, it's going to take a little bit more education out there for sure. And as you're talking about that, I'm thinking about the digital transformation or the digital leap many of us had to take during the pandemic when we couldn't, you know, when credit unions couldn't serve their members in person anymore. We all had to do this digital acceleration. I think that was kind of a grand experiment to how the digital channel would work for folks. It seemed like it was a smashing success because obviously the digital channel is working really, really well now because of that, actually. And we probably wouldn't have found out as quickly as we did if not for, you know, the shutdowns and things like that. So I thought that I think that's kind of a grand experiment as well to see if that works. And then kind of segueing from what you said about the trust, now people trust it because it does. Hey, this really does work. Okay, now I can trust it. So so it's really, really neat. And then to see it coming back to the human element as well.
Yep. And Sherry's keynote was also about that human interaction with the data. So, you know, her thesis is all about how you can create value by using your data in better ways. Value for the member, value for the community, value for your operations and the way your organization runs internally. So there's a lot of value to be extracted, and people are putting a lot of investment into their data analytics. But at the same time, people are saying like they're not really seeing the value yet. And so we had a poll question. It was really a cool thing that we've done this conferences every day. We had a couple questions supplied by the fellows that want to just know more from the credit union audience of like what's top of mind for them. And Sherry asked around what is the most challenging roadblock standing in the way of getting that maximum value from your data analytics investments. And really, it's not surprising to her to hear this either, but the feedback from the crowd in the room today and online was lack of resources and poor data literacy.
Really?
And, wow. And yeah, and so it's a cultural problem more so than just like having the technology connected and working. It's, you know, we first have to understand what we're doing with this data, what we're trying to do with the data, why we want to do what we're trying to do with the data, how to make change with the data. It's not so much the collection of the data is the problem. It's really figuring
it's
out
analyzing it and deciphering it.
Yeah.
Does that surprise you? Because I mean, it does me a little bit, because I do probably an interview on data revolving around data probably at least 3 times a week. On data, because somebody's doing something with data, and you can't swing a cat these days without data. So I mean, I'm amazed at that response.
I feel like it's one of those things about being a human where we have logic, and then we have our go-to. What we end up doing is, you know, we have a lot of. I mean, we had a behavioral scientist in here doing a keynote as well. Matt Wallert was talking about, you know, if we did everything that the data told us was the best choice, then we would all be the best people that we want to be. You know, we'd be fit. We would all get up in the morning, and
be
none
smart,
of us would
procrastinate.
Yeah. So
our budgets would be perfect.
The data's there, but you know, if somebody tells you a story, you're probably going to remember the story more than you're going to remember the numbers.
Completely.
So I think it's just being human is maybe incongruent with data sometimes. It takes us a lot longer to trust it and to feel comfortable. The whole idea of experimenting with something where you're like, I don't know if this is going to work out, but here's my hypothesis. Here's what the data is indicating. Here's what I expect to happen. I'm going to test it, measure it. That takes such a leap of faith to believe that maybe it's going to go the way you think it's going to go. So I think we even ourselves have a hard time trusting data over lived experience.
Yeah. Oh, that's an interesting point. Yeah, I've never thought of it that way before, the kind of the human interaction with the data. So that's a whole nother show. That's a whole nother conference, Holly.
Those are the swirling in my head as I'm listening to these keynotes though. And it's cool because I'm sure everyone else had their own connection to the research that's being presented, and then their own interactions with their own organizations and challenges that they've experienced.
Yeah, man, lots of resources out there. Anything else stand out for you from today's activities?
Here's my notes. Yeah, you know, I would say, because I know you kind of ask like, what's the theme, the vibe of the day?
Yeah.
And I heard Dr. Mai Nguyen talking about this. She said in the wrap up today, she said that credit unions have a lot of power to shape change. We talked about that yesterday with the way they can affect their communities by partnering on micro levels, and collectively that just gets bigger and bigger. Matt Wallert, who is a behavioral scientist at an industrial design company called Frog, was talking to us today about basically we all do applied behavioral science all day long. Like a perfect example is if you're a parent, you're basically trying to change the way people behave constantly. And behavioral science is just about either encouraging people to do something or encouraging people to stop doing something. And credit unions have a lot of power to use their data, understand kind of what would be beneficial to their members, and then nudge them towards those behaviors that are going to make improvements in financial well-being for their members. And I think this was a reminder to me that a lot of times credit unions, it's a highly regulated industry. So, you know, they think, well, we only have this tiny box to play in.
Yeah,
I think it's time to, you have to be innovative. You have to think creatively. And I think the most successful credit unions are going to be the ones that are like, here's what we want to have happen. Yes, there's roadblocks, but we can make that change happen. Maybe it's iteratively. Maybe it's all at once, but we're going to design experiments. We're going to measure the success, and we're going to iterate and repeat over and over and over until we get better and better and better at what we want to have happen. And it's possible.
Well, and it sounds like now's the right time to do it as we're kind of coming out of the, you know, the year and a half that we've had. This is a great opportunity for credit unions. As we've spoken throughout the conference, there's all these opportunities out there. You just really have to grab hold of it and go with it.
I mean, I'm always reminded of, like, I think the, like, food service industry is always, like, a leading indicator of, like, what's possible. And, yeah, the possibilities were cracked wide open during the pandemic because like I said, with food, people weren't going to the restaurants. So they quickly found a way to not only get all of their food so you can pick it up, eat outside, even if they didn't do those kinds of things before, but then also, like, I love all the restaurants that put together, like, margarita kits and, you know, and there used to be regulation on, like, you couldn't just go and get a bottle of tequila from a restaurant, but the things changed during the pandemic and they put together, you know, all that you'd need to make cocktails at home with your tacos that you're ordering from a Mexican restaurant. And I love it. And I think those kinds of things are here to stay now. Like, why can't I go get a margarita kit at a restaurant now? So financial services, the same thing. Like, if you said, well, this is, obviously there's regulations, but regulations can change over time.
Do they ever? Oh my gosh. Yeah, I'm trying to think of what I did a number of interviews today as well. Really enjoyed TransUnion's Blake Woods. You know, just he's always such a really. I didn't know he was a graduate of both i3 and the Crashers. That's quite an.
We're seeing more and more. I think the programs have been around long enough now that we're starting to see that leapfrog kind of the trail back to where they started, and then on an up and up and up. So it's really cool to see that.
Yeah, and how he was even influenced by one of the i3 presentations earlier. So he came, he kind of redid his entire presentation to kind of mimic what the i3 project was. So that's, I mean, there's influence everywhere, no matter what level you are. Even Brian Hamm talked about from Q Direct Connect, talked about navigating uncertain waters with the economy, whether it's up or it's down, and how you can make these little, tiny little surgical changes and not cut something out completely or go overboard with something when times are good or times are bad. Just make these little incremental changes and be consistent. So I really enjoyed enjoyed his message as well. And even Ben Maxim from Michigan State University Federal Credit Union and what they're doing with their lab or their innovation lab and then their project on chatbots. Really, really interesting on seeing how that segment of our industry is really evolving quickly. I mean, at one point, one day, or actually he said it could happen now where these chatbots could do some cross-selling for you, you know, based on the member data, like we were talking about before. So it's really, really fun to talk to these people and see what's going on and what's on the horizon.
Yeah, and I think it's really cool that credit unions are starting to see their internal staff as, like, another audience to really serve and take care of. I know Mark had said at the very start of the conference that, you know, it just a gentle reminder to think about our own people, too, and make sure we're paying them a living wage and make sure we're, you know, doing things to help with our staff's well-being. And and so, you know, that's a factor in all of this too. That's we're seeing it, you know, not just looking at how we can do things for our members, but how can we take care of our staff and listen to our staff. And because it's going to be a big thing if we talent is another one that is, you know, we didn't have a fourth day here on talent, but that's kind of an underscore of everything that we talked about too, because the human element, we need, credit unions need the right people, you know, to execute.
Indeed, yeah. Take care of your employees. I mean, that's the face of your organization. So happy staff equals happy members. Definitely take care of them for sure. All right. Well, I'm going to get to the big takeaway, Holly. I'm going to do two, actually. The takeaway of today and then the takeaway of the conference for you. So what's the takeaway of today?
Like I said earlier, I think today's takeaway is that, you know, the credit unions that maybe have been waiting for change to happen or looking around for more instruction on, like, okay, like, when are we going to change and how are we going to do it? It's that you're going to do it right now, and you're going to do it however you think is going to work best in iterative stages. But I was very inspired by what Dr. Nguyen said, that, you know, credit unions have a lot more power than they think they do to impact change. And I think that there's just no time to wait anymore. And what Dr. Jeffrey Robinson said is that if we don't innovate, we're going to die as a business. So combining that idea of people need support, and credit unions are not going to exist much longer if they don't innovate to change and give people what they want, because consumers' needs are changing. And so we're going to have to be really innovative to get that change going.
Agreed. All right. Takeaway for the conference.
Takeaway for that whole conference. I feel like there's a ton of energy in this industry right now, and it's this pent up buzzing energy. And it's almost like, you know, I think that there's, people can get burned out on the credit union philosophy sometimes, because we're always talking about, it's, you know, it's a great mission, but unless we see some significant like improvements being made, it gets you down. You know, society kind of hasn't been great for a while, right? And there's this energy of like, we're on the upswing again. You know, we're hopefully going to come out of this pandemic a little bit, you know, closer to being done with it than the start, right? Past halfway, maybe. Yeah. It's kind of hard to know, but hopefully past halfway. And like I said yesterday, just being grateful for the things we used to take for granted. I feel like there's this like refreshed energy to be together, to try new things, and maybe a little bit more permission to be like, things have changed, so the same rules don't apply. So, you know, get those opportunities while they're out there and just jump in. And if you mess up, there's this, there's a more acceptability right now of like, well, we just had this massive pandemic and it is what it is. So it's kind of cool, right?
Yeah, exactly. And one of my takeaways, and I'm not there, but maybe you can kind of inform me a little bit better, but COVID seemed to take a back seat at this conference. Obviously it was there in its undertones and the safety precautions that you take, but as far as the content that you guys provided, I didn't see much of COVID. I didn't see much usually you see like, oh, how we survived the pandemic, or five steps to take to get out of, you know, whatever, you know. This time I went over the agenda and everything. I said, not really much COVID mentioned here. Let's get to work.
We've talked about it enough, and quite frankly, I think we're sick of talking about it. And honestly, the context of it has changed. So COVID was the catalyst, but it just made us realize like these things exist, pandemic or not. They're the real challenges that we now have in society. So we can't keep blaming everything on COVID forever, you know?
Got that right.
People want to do things easily, and people want to, like, we were just, some of the wrap-up comments from the fellows were talking about the future of the workplace, future of work. Are people going to want to be back in the office? Or are they not going to want to be back in the office? And there wasn't consensus. There was disagreement between a couple of the fellows. And so this is like, again, COVID may have started the conversation, but some people really love to just be in the comfort of their home and be away from people and not have commute. Other people are totally dying for getting back together and connecting. And those mental shifts, we can't blame on COVID. Those are just being human. And so now we're in this frame of, okay, you know, that forced us, but now what are we going to do? What are we going to change? And how are we going to restructure what we want to be for the better, maybe? Mm-hmm. And So we didn't really feel like we need to talk about if you haven't figured out how to run your business in a COVID era by now, you're probably not around.
A little behind. You're a little behind. Yeah. But I just thought, I was looking at all the content and all the topics, like, all right, hey, we're getting back to work here. We're getting down into the weeds and we're getting to work and we're going to get our hands dirty. So that's what it's all about. My last one, and I'm going back to day one. Gopal Swami from Conductive, and he just summed it up for me, at least, that this is a conference of do-gooders.
Do-gooders.
And yeah. I'm never going to forget that. And I'm telling you now, Holly, tell Mark to trademark that. I just love that. That really sums it up for me. That Finding Big Bright Minds is really a conference of do-gooders and actually really hard workers as well, who really get into the weeds and get things done and make changes. So that's my big takeaway from.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, people didn't come here to not do anything. That's for sure.
Right. They're there to make change.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're looking for inspiration, support, camaraderie from others, resources, connection to our fellows and other researchers. You can get what you're looking for here. And we just hope that people go home and take it and use it, apply it, make change, talk about it, share it back, share it with everyone else. And then we meet up again in a year and we see, you know, we see where we get to each little improvement and getting closer to, you know, it's always a journey, but you can get closer to your goals, even if your goals are a moving target.
Oh yeah, completely. And that's a great segue into my last question. Mm-hmm. When's the next one? What's the next location and date for Big Bright Minds?
Yes. I believe it is October 24th. It's the same exact week that it was this year, but in 2022. So the 24th through the 27th. And it is in Denver, Colorado.
Ooh, nice. Nice. Mm-hmm. Great time of the year to be in Denver. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Perfecto. All righty. Well, we'll see you all in a year. Thank you so much, Holly, for not only helping me out with all the interviews and stuff. That was, oh my gosh, that was off the charts, above and beyond the Call of Duty. But I love these daily wrap-ups too, just kind of summarizing stuff. Obviously, there's a lot of details in there, but this was really a lot of fun. And congratulations on another successful Big Bright Minds. You guys knocked it out of the park once again.
Thank you. And just a reminder for everybody who's watching this, everyone who attended, there's a ton of sessions. They're all recorded. Another benefit of the hybrid world we're in now. So you can go back and rewatch the videos. We will have more information on that on Finaline's website. And it's just so much information. I couldn't even absorb it all. So I'm definitely going to go check them out again. So highly recommend everyone go back and check out their favorite sessions again.
Exactly. You watch your favorite shows over and over again or your favorite movie. So why not a Filene session? Come on. Alrighty. On that note, Holly, I'm going to let you wrap up things there on site. And next year, we're going to be there. We'll be there with you in Denver live. So it'll be a lot of fun to see you guys in person. Yay!
Yeah. So, can't wait.
Alrighty. Well, thank you again. Appreciate it. That was a lot of fun.